Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Hugh Weber is with me in the SDPB studios in Vermilion today. You've been following him on the Potluck Society, and today we pause to celebrate the potluck with a look back at some of its highlights. Hey, Hugh.
Hey, it's good to be here.
It's a whole day in Vermilion. How has it been going? 8 months, 9 months of the potluck so far.
The time has just blown by, and I think we've learned a lot of things. I've certainly learned a lot about the technical side of this thing you do so well. But we've also started getting that second ripple of feedback of conversations that are sparking because of the episodes of the Potluck Society, and people really starting to now... It generates its own energy. People are making recommendations, and almost every day I'll get an email or a text or a phone call of some sort saying, have you considered this person?
Have you met so-and-so?
That's right, exactly. which is a great joy, because it is hard to cover a state this wide. You know this well. Everyone here knows this well by yourself. But when you start to tap into that energy of the communities of the state, something special happens. So today we're going to look to some snippets from the actual episodes. Most weeks I bring just clips of the interview, and it kind of is standalone. This week I've brought in clips of the actual episode, so you're going to hear some of my voiceover, maybe my attempts to be humorous, successfully or unsuccessfully.
We hear the cleverness of Hugh.
That's exactly right. So in episode 3 of the Potluck Society, we meet an artist named Ashley Hansen and a conversation host named Joe Bartman, who talked about the art of asking powerful questions and engaging the world as what Joe called not knowers. We're going to hear a clip of the podcast where we first meet Joe and introduce his concept of not knowing. Before we jump into the conversation with Joe Bartman, I really want to set the context. We're recording this interview at the Exposure Gallery, where I have some space for the Potluck Society. It's a simple white room, and I'm sitting across the table from Joe, someone who I respect more than anyone else I know. But our paces are very different. Joe has this certain pace of the prairie, laid back, thoughtful, reflective. I have a much more spontaneous and spastic way of interacting. It might mean that some of my asides and interruptions seem out of sync with Joe, but I can't tell you how excited I am to introduce him to you. Please meet Joe Bartman.
My name is Joe Bartman. I live in a little town of Montrose, South Dakota, where my wife Jamie and I are raising 4 daughters. I work for a nonprofit called Dakota Resources, where we are empowering people in rural places to make their communities the kind of places where they want to live. I think of myself as a conversation host, a host for conversations that matter. And most of that, for me, happens in rural places. So the reason that I say host, and you know, a lot of people would call me a facilitator. Some people call me a community coach. But I think a host shows up to create a space and allow conversations to show up. And that's really what I try to do. And so that means I'm practicing still at showing up as a not knower.
He said not knower. He said not knower. No explanation follows this. He said not knower. I feel like he's baiting me. I feel like he's just playing with me.
I often start out by telling whatever group has asked me to come help them with something that I don't have the answers you need. I don't have the solutions, but I believe you do. And I'm going to try to help you find the questions that can break that loose, that can help you pour your wisdom into this room that is already there.
You need to understand that this is entirely sincere. This is Joe Bartman. This belief that the answers we need are in the people that have shown up is core to who he is as a human being. I can't tell you the number of times where I've been planning an event in the region, and Joe has reassured me that I need not be concerned about ticket sales, because the people that need to be there, the people that need to hear the question and provide the answers, will in fact be there. There's a faith in this process that's not religious, but is definitely spiritual. But don't let yourself get distracted. There's still this matter of not knowers and the explanation that we need. Tell me a little bit about not knowers, and I assume the inverse being knowers.
Well, I'm a knower too often, more often than I want to be, right? That's why I said I'm practicing this being a not knower. I've been practicing it for 15 years or so, still pretty low skilled at it. But I think knowers show up with an answer. I mean, a question asks what's possible and asks what else and asks what's here. And so it's a quest, right? And an answer is just an answer. An answer is the end. It doesn't open things up. It closes things down.
I don't want to exaggerate, and I don't want to overstate this. We are only 3 episodes into this Potluck Society adventure. But I think that line, that little tidbit of information may be the greatest gift that I ever give the universe. Let's listen to it again, please.
A question asks what's possible and asks what else and asks what's here. And so it's a quest, right? And an answer is just an answer. An answer is the end. It doesn't open things up. It closes things down.
I can't decide if I think this is actually just good common sense or some sort of subversive genius. I mean, think about it. Possibility, creativity, innovation only come through open doors. Answers are closed doors. It's the questions that are open doors. It makes me just want to sit and listen to Joe.
We're going to jump ahead to one of my favorite episodes, Lori. It's episode number 5, which was called Subverting the Superficial. It features a neuroscientist named Justin Smith, PhD, and a South Dakota native, now a Silicon Valley startup entrepreneur, Lex Munson. The episode focuses on the nature of connection, and you're going to hear Justin talk about the role of connection in his life and how human relationships are core to their existence.
If you're going to look for someone to talk to about connection, I think it's important to look at potentially some lateral thinking. So this week, I went to a very close friend, a neuroscientist and data scientist, Justin Smith, PhD. Now, I give him a hard time, especially about those 3 letters that follow his name, but Justin has a very specific expertise. Let's let him tell us about the things that he's interested in, especially as it relates to his research.
I'm interested in stress decision-making and the role that anxiety plays during that process. So individuals that are more anxious or more stressed are less good at making decisions. Individuals that are not stressed enough are also not good at making decisions. So there's this kind of sweet spot where you want to make sure you're stressed enough, but not stressed too much to be at your optimal decision-making performance.
Now that that's out of the way, what I really wanted to talk to Justin about this week was how he connects and how he views connection. I specifically asked him to talk about times where he transitioned from group to group, state to state, country to country even. And he shared a very specific example of his transition to South Dakota.
So when I was going to move back to the United States, I emailed all of my friends across the country that were in, you know, professional or graduate school programs. And I had, you know, the whole United States was an open book. I could have moved anywhere. And my friend from Sioux Falls emailed me and said, "Don't laugh. You should move to Sioux Falls, South Dakota." And my first thought was, there's no way in the world I'm moving to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And then I read his 2-paragraph email and I realized I had a network of friends already here. The jobs are extremely available and I could commute with him down to school in Vermilion. So right away, it was like, well, that seems like a fascinating place to kind of set up shop and see where I'd like to go from there. And I realized I don't have to go anywhere. I can be right here.
Now, there's already a lot to unpack here. First of all, he saw the entire world as his landscape for possibility. But it was a connection, a relationship, a friendship from his time studying in Montana that ultimately brought him to South Dakota, where he saw endless possibility.
And I was looking kind of to continue my academic career. And I was applying for different programs and actually got recruited into Dr. Cliff Summers' neuroscience lab.
Justin likes to talk a lot about Dr. Cliff Summers, kind of a hero and mentor of his. Let's give him just a little bit more time to talk about him.
It's essentially this, you know, small, locally fairly unrecognized, but internationally world famous lab that's down at USD. And I had the opportunity to study and work with Cliff. Dr. Summers, and it was an amazing experience, and it absolutely completely changed my life.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. We'll interview Dr. Summers at some point in the near future. But let's get back to this idea of connection. Justin, how was it that you dropped into these networks, to these communities, to these groups of friends, and became such a critical part of them?
So I think the idea of dropping in is something that makes it sound far too haphazard, right? It's growing up in Alaska, there's not a lot of people, and so you're friendly to everybody. And so you get good at making friends or kind of reading the groups to see, you know, where do I fit in this group? If they've already got a funny guy or a guy that does everything, you know, see if you can kind of fill a different role. I don't know. I guess I just really like making friends. And so being open to that opportunity and kind of going with the attitude of willing to listen and learn really helps kind of make people welcome you along to new activities and new adventures.
There's something so human about this. I think we've all experienced it. But I think it's really interesting the way Justin describes it. It made me wonder if this desire to belong, this desire to connect is innate, if it's part of the human experience. Do you think that desire to connect or that desire to find a place, is that an innate thing that a neuroscientist could tell me is native to the human condition? Or do you think that's something that's unique to you?
No, I think wanting to belong is innate, right? I mean, I think everybody wants to belong to small groups. I've practiced it. I think that's the one thing that I would say. This is not an out of the box phenomenon where, yeah, I'm friendly and I really enjoy talking with new people. But at the same time, too, I really try and work on being as observational as possible to understand what's the situation that I'm in right now and how do I assimilate the best, right? How do I join this group, you know, to the best way possible? But that idea for human beings to come together in groups, I think, is something that we've been doing our whole history, you know, as animals, as mammals, we really want to be together. And that's something where I think that absolutely is innate.
This really lit up my curiosity. I had to ask a whole series of questions about our own desire to connect and the interconnectivity inside our brain.
You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Lori Walsh. Hugh Weber is here with me, and we're taking a look back at some of the highlights of the Potluck Society podcast. Thanks
That's
for being
right.
here, Hugh.
Yeah,
I love these.
Well, it's fun to revisit. It's been such a short window of time, and yet my own kind of development and the development of the way we're telling the stories has changed over the last, you know, handful of weeks.
All right, give us one more.
So this final clip comes from episode 11 and builds upon episode 7 for those completists out there, where we talked about the benefits of improv for public speaking, business, and life. As that episode wrapped up, my guest in episode 7, Emily Paulson, mentioned that her aunt Gail Wirth was a longtime improv actress that had been part of the Saturday Night Live cast. So on the spot, I suggested we call her, which we did, and episode 11 captures that call.
I think we should give your Aunt Gail a call.
Let's do it.
Can we do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
You've got the number here.
Yes.
I'm going to dial our friend Gail.
Boop, 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 boop.
Who's going to get
boop,
an unsuspecting
boop,
call.
Boop.
Unsuspecting call from South Dakota. We'll see how this goes.
Hello?
So right up front, I don't know how long it's been since I've laughed as hard as I did during this 35 to 40 minutes with Gail and Emily. But when I tried to start the interview...
Go ahead. Would you like to speak now?
No, you're doing everything I hoped you would do, friend.
Okay.
So,
who are you?
My name is Hugh, and I'm...
Wait, I missed it. Emily was having an asthmatic attack.
Sorry, I am.
She's short of breath in here.
I am.
You're in the same space?
We are. She's at the pinnacle of her career in a basement on South Williams Avenue in Sioux Falls.
Crazy. You guys are living the life.
She may not have been impressed by my studio setting, but she was definitely impressed by my work ethic.
Lacking, as it were.
When I stumbled over a couple questions, she had some stage ribbing for me.
Line.
And my jokes weren't exactly connecting with South Dakota's queen of improv either.
Clever.
I felt compelled to share a little bit of my resume just to assure her that I was worth her time.
Oh, sloughing. Just a no good piece of doo-doo.
Now, I want to be fully transparent. Very little of this was actually taken out of context.
But what is missing is the absolute cracked up, borderline insane laughter coming from Emily and I. Gail has a way about her of making the most mundane, innocent remark sound hilarious. And I'm not sure that she does it entirely intentionally. So we moved on to the actual interview. Emily had mentioned that Gail had been her inspiration as a child. But I was curious who may have inspired Gail.
Oh boy, get out the hankies. You know, I really think I was born this way.
If you were expecting a Lady Gaga moment here, you would be correct.
I was born this way. I kind of do think I was born this way. I was kind of the mascot in my family. And so my mother, Emily referred to her grandma, my mother, Marcine, was a singer. And she sang with the Sioux Falls Municipal Band for many, many years in Sioux Falls. Here she's raising four little kids, and my mother was like gigging all summer. And I would go with her to the municipal band performances all summer long, either at McKinnon Park, right across the street from where Emily was raised, or Terrace Park, or Pioneer Park, or I don't think Sherman Park had a band shell. But anyway, I would go with my mother to those concerts. I wouldn't go out on stage, but I'd be backstage. And that was magic. I loved backstage. It was like you were yourself when you were backstage. And then I'd see my mom being my mom to me and wiping my nose, and hopefully only my nose. And then she'd go out on stage and have this whole other persona. And she sang with a man that was not my father. And he put his arm around her. And they sang duets very snugly. But I do remember primarily those images going around with my mother when she sang in the summertime. It just, something was like, oh, I like this dark wood area. And then you walk out into the light where the people are looking at you with wide open eyes, expecting something magical to happen.
She loved this vision of making magic happen in front of audiences so much that she would spend the rest of her life doing it on stages, in improv groups, on TV screens. Gail makes magic for a living.
You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting Radio. Scenes from the Potluck Society. Host Hugh Weber is with me. I love her. How much fun is that?
So much fun. And it's so much fun to revisit. I mean, I think people like Gail, people like Justin, and I had the hardest time cutting this back.
Yeah. You can find the Potluck Society on our website, listen.sdpb.org, or you can subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. And that's really the best way to do it, because then it just pops up on your phone or your mobile device and gives you a reminder when you have a new version to listen to. Hugh talking to some of the great South Dakotans and beyond, really.
That's right.
No limits.
That's right.
How
no
do
limits.
How do you sum it up in a sentence? You know, people ask you, what's your podcast about?
Yeah, I say that we connect and celebrate the ordinary people building extraordinary communities.
Yeah. Hugh Weber, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.